meeting to order. Item 1B, Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Item number 2, approval of minutes from January 12th, 2026, regular meeting, and January 28th, 2026, and January 29th, 2026, special meeting. If no objections are registered, the council chair shall approve the same written.
We can't hear you, sorry.
Okay. I'll speak up.
Thank you.
All right, I'll approve the minutes. Item 3, approval of warrants. Suggested motion to approve and sign warrants 71 through 80 in the amount of $774,171.70.
So moved.
Second.
Motion's been made and seconded. Any discussion? All those in favor? Item 4, acceptance of gifts, donations. Move to accept the following gifts, donations, and grants in the amount of $826, as detailed below. Denise Lynn Moore and Nancy Christensen, monetary $50 for the library. Can donations, monetary $26.90 for the library. And Northern Penobscot Activities Council grant $750 for recreation equipment.
So moved.
Second.
Motion's been made and seconded. Any discussion? All those in favor? 7-0. Item 5, chairman slash town manager's comments. I have nothing.
Yes, Steve, I would like to say just a quick few words here. I'd like to put out a hearty good job directed to the Lincoln Fire Department. They fought two fully involved multiple alarm fires on consecutive days last week. They did a good job. There was some confusion that occurred, and a neighboring town failed to respond to these fires. The following day, Chief Brown and myself went to this town, and after a 45-minute conversation, we left with a handshake agreement to not leave each other hanging. So we left in a much better place. We left in a much better place than we went down. So, but the main subject of this is a good job to the fire department. That's it, Steve. Thank you.
Item 6, monthly reports. Council. Item 7, open forum. The council will allow residents and or Lincoln taxpayers to comment prior to council action on agenda items. If you have any questions at all, please call 794-3372. General requests may be made in the open forum during the regular meeting, but will not be acted upon in the same meeting. Individuals wishing to be heard by the council will be recognized by the council chair. After identifying themselves, the speaker may make brief comments and may not repeat previous statements made. The speaker must limit themselves to the item under discussion. The speaker must observe rules of common etiquette. The council chair may set a time limit on the length of public comment and or a time limit for individual speakers. Council chair reserves the right to stop any public comment that is contrary to these rules, and any councilor may call point of order during the discussion. Any person who disrupts a council meeting may be required to leave in order to maintain orderly consideration of the matters for which the meeting was called. All right, this is open forum. Anybody on this side?
You have one on one.
Steve, I'm not sure if they can hear you. I can hear you, so if you tell me, I can relate to them, but I'm not sure if Mario's broadcasting on there.
Okay.
I'm David Moyson, a Lincoln resident. I speak for myself only tonight, and I ask a waiver that comments be restricted to items on the agenda. I'd be very grateful.
Okay.
Following up on the town manager's comment about the fires recently, I urge all parties involved to think outside the box when it comes to mutual aid agreements. we should think about mutual aid agreements for equipment as well as entire service. One of the issues in Wynn was a tanker truck. Second comment follows up on BioFine's recent presentation. They mentioned that Weyerhaeuser is considering multiple biochemical facilities in Maine. I would like to add my support to those who are urging Lincoln to roll out the welcome mat for Weyerhaeuser. The more people we have considering us, the better off we will be. And the third is, on behalf of the new town council members and the new town manager, we will be renegotiating fire and EMS contracts with Chester and Mohawk and some other towns in the near, well, before mid-year. Please keep in mind that those contracts are supposed to charge all towns the same for services provided, the same cost that each Lincoln resident pays for the comparable service. We have not done that for several years, and that's cost us hundreds and hundreds of thousands of dollars that needs to be corrected soon. Thank you.
Thank you. Anybody else on this side?
Steve, try again for Steve Perry.
Yes, my name is Steve Perry. Can you hear me okay?
We can.
Yes, I'd like to take a few minutes. I am a resident of Lincoln. I retired back in 2018, and I'm currently the chair for the LLIC. And I understand tonight that you will be talking about the contract that we have with Steve Levesque, our economic developer. And I'd like to just encourage you folks to understand the ability that we have with having Steve and his team, Vicki and Ruth, doing what they're doing for us here in Fallon Lincoln. Before I retired, I was the director of business development for Sargent Corporation, and I ran in the same circles that Steve Levesque did back when he was working in Brunswick and Loring. And I don't think there's anyone in the state that is in development that can say anything bad about what Steve has done for the state of Maine and for the local towns. And I'd just like to encourage you folks to realize that when you've got a Larry Bird or a Tom Brady on your team, you don't show them the door. And so I thank you for your time, and have a good evening tonight.
Thank you, Steve. Okay. Anybody on this side?
I have been dealing, well, first off, my name is Karen Richards, and I've been trying to run a small business here of tailoring, and I'm here for that reason. I have asked Kathy Moisen to go over some things with plans with me, which I have here in a book that I've done along the way. I can't get funded, and I've been placed homeless. And yes, I am inside, and I've been told it's God helping me, which, thank God for that. I do have a sewing machine, and I want to say thank you publicly to Bobby Sorman for giving me one, so I can take in orders and make my own money, because I don't believe in programs that can use a family and be used along the way through social media. I lost out on a job because of Messenger and Facebook. I have asked many times over the years to phone call me or text messaging, not Messenger. Nobody seems to want to follow those rules, I guess, for me. I stayed here to get a place so that my family would have a place, not to be put into Section 8 or a HUD program. I had a domestic abuse grant given to me by a list of people, which I have in my paperwork. One is Brian's house. I did not know about this, really. It's my fault, because I didn't sit down and read the paperwork. But I've been told through my church that this person that had control of this was my landlord. But she never came to my face with any people. She knows who I'm talking about because I probably think that she's listening, which is fine, and I don't care. And if I have to go to that person, I will, but she's never around, so how can I? But any time that I've tried to email some plans, whatever, to any of you, it's my phone, my things have been blocked. So if I'm here just to publicly announce that I do have a sewing machine and I can take on orders to pay for where I'm at right now, then so be it. But I need a place publicly, or retail, I'll say it that way, because I've had some very weird things happen to me when I've had a home in that type of thing that has come against me. The last job that I was placed in, he actually came out and told me that he was stalking me on Facebook. I don't like social media. Call me old school, I don't care. But I'm 62 years and I should not be forced at my age right now to go on Social Security to get income or to live under any type of form. I'm not here to belittle anybody in this town. I'm here to work with you. And I'm thank God that BioFine came in and did the presentation because I was in that first meeting that we had here in that in town for reconstruction of the mill. So I believe in economic growth. I believe in any new businesses coming in, small or big. I've never been against it. But my life is a worker. And that's what I'm standing here saying, is I'm a worker. I'm not saying that I'm not appreciative of the gifts along the way. Listen, I had a $50 gift card given to me, so I don't need to go to the food cupboard. I'm not saying I degrade that either. Because when I was in the retail first, I started that too in my own business of bringing in food for the needy. My family has been in and out of homelessness. But I'm tired of being the one to be blamed. And being blamed for things that are being said out in the world against what I'm performing here. Number one, I hate drugs. I've reported needles that I've found along the way in the last 10 years on the grounds. I lost a niece because of drugs. But I don't need to be said that I'm a counselor. I don't need to be on boards. I do have people that come to me that have had problems, and I'll talk privately with them. But that's my choice, just like it is here. I have done research on two different buildings that would make good places for me to have an open place. But again, it requires money. And for me to get that money, I guess I have to work to do that. When I first opened my business up and I was put in retail, I was bringing in over $1,600 a month. In my art, well, not in my art alone, because I did a few sewing jobs along the way last summer. My income was only 600 or something. Most of that was my art up at the farmer's market. I'm happy that all of this stuff has been so that I can get out there and do it. And I'm glad of the prices so that I can afford to do that. So all I'm asking you guys to do, I guess, is first off, Sheldon, did you know that I had this grant as a representative? Because it was done during your time down there.
No, I was unaware of it.
Okay. So, like I said, I'm here to work. So, but thank you, Kathy, for always being behind me and if I needed to talk, I appreciate that. And I appreciate your friendship along the way.
Thank you, Gary. Anybody else on this side? No? Council? Did you have something?
No.
Okay. Anybody on this side? Council? All right. Item 8A, public hearing, renewal of state liquor license application, Gilmore's Restaurant. Suggested motion, move to open a public hearing for the purpose of hearing oral and written comments on the proposed renewal state liquor license application for Gilmore's Restaurant.
So moved.
Second.
Motion's been made and seconded. All those in favor? 7-0. We are in 7:15. Do we have any public comments on renewal liquor license for Gilmore's? Counsel? Okay, I'll close the public hearing at 7:16. Item 8B, approval, renewal state liquor license application. Move to approve the renewal state liquor license application submitted by Gilmore's Restaurant.
So moved.
Second.
Motion's been made and seconded. Any discussion? All those in favor? 7-0. Item 9A, public hearing, new special amusement permit application. Suggested motion, move to open a public hearing for the purpose of hearing oral and written comments on the proposed new special amusement permit application for 49 Main.
So moved.
Second.
Motion's been made and seconded. Any discussion? All those in favor? 7-0. Do we have any public comments on the special amusement permit for 49 Main? Counsel? Okay, I'll close the public hearing at 7:17. Item 9B, special amusement permit. Suggested motion, move to approve the new special amusement permit application submitted by 49 Main.
So moved.
Second.
Motion's been made and seconded. Any discussion? All those in favor? 7-0. Item 10, authorization to open process and authorize town manager. Suggested motion, move to authorize the Maine Bureau of Alcoholic Beverages to open up the process to issue the last agency liquor license available for the town of Lincoln and authorize the town manager to sign a letter on behalf of the council to state the agency with approval to open the process.
So moved.
Motion's been made and seconded. Any discussion? Counselor Hanlon?
Mr. Chair, I spoke to the Bureau of Alcohol Thursday, and just like we appointed this amusement license after 49 had been in business for a while, being on Veteran Legal Affairs for 6 years, I kind of knew how this is going to happen. It's kind of a moot point because it's based on population, there's no doubt. It's also based on population, they can give a special if we have tourists that brings the population up in order to sell more alcohol. How he explained it to me was that if this person, first of all, I was surprised to think that, you know, we don't even know the business that's going to be applying to get this third liquor license. We'll say, for instance, Mr. Chairman, if you started business today and you wanted to petition this, me as a state, to get a license, that's fine and great to have the town do that, but they need to have a business plan. They need to know how many patrons you have coming into the store, because they just don't want to open up a third agency liquor store if it's not going to be profitable for them, where it's a controlled substance through Pine State. So that's how they left it to me. They said it could be 3 months after, once the track record's there. So I think this is just kind of a moot point, because they're going to look at that and they're not going to do nothing with it until this business is up and running. And I'm assuming might be a business that's already, they could transfer beer and wine through an existing contract that they already have, if I'm thinking of the business in play. But when it comes to alcohol, it's a whole different ball of wax where it's a controlled substance. So that's, thank you.
Now, to have open this up right now, would that make that any quicker after the 2 or 3 months for the business?
He didn't think it would be.
Okay.
Because, first of all, they need a track record. I mean, we could, very likely, but it's just going to sit down there until 2 or 3 months, or it could be even 6 months, you know, so.
So does this commit us in some way to a future business?
No, no, not really. You know, I mean, it's based on all population, and you know, and we could very likely petition the state and say, look, we have tourism of 9,000 people, total tourism volume. And they could issue based on our tourism that we have, you know. But I just wanted to put that information out.
Okay, thank you. Any other comments?
Steve.
Ann.
So why this is on the agenda, I did have a business manager come to me and asked me the process to open that. So I did also contact the state and got a little bit of information. In order to have that last state agency liquor store in Lincoln, it would require the council to approve opening up that process. Sheldon is right. The process goes through the state. It probably wouldn't be heard until this spring. But the letter that we were requesting the town manager to have you authorize him to sign is so that when that letter goes forward, it doesn't go forward with any specific business, because that process through the state is opened up as a public hearing where by law and the statute, they do have to notify all the surrounding businesses within the town of Lincoln. I don't know if they go outside of Lincoln, that process is happening. So every business in the town has the same fair chance. It can't just be one business applying for it. That's what I found out.
Any other questions, comments? All those in favor? 7-0. Item 11, approve Loon Fest vending fees. Suggest a motion to approve the following food vending fees for the Loon Fest this July. Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Veterans Memorial Square. Lincoln residents and businesses, $100 for a 10x10, $200 for a 10x20, $250 for 10x25. Non-Lincoln residents and businesses, $150 for 10x10, $250 for a 10x20, and $300 for 10x25. Friday and Saturday only, Cobb Field, $50 resident, $75 non-resident. Registered nonprofits will continue to receive a 50% discount.
Second.
Motion's been made and seconded. Any discussion?
Just a question. And I don't know the track record, but why do we charge nonprofits unless they're going to be selling something? I guess sometimes the nonprofits are just there to promote a cause or to register veterans or, you know, save a life. So
it's really
just a question in general.
Yeah, so it's really because if I open it up to just nonprofits bringing for free, I wouldn't have any room for vendors. So that's really it. I mean, I could charge free for nonprofits. I could do a whole nonprofit fair, but I only have so much room. One of my biggest problems with Loonfest is the real estate that I have. I only have this much room to cram as much as I can in. So I allow some nonprofits, some non, to just kind of keep the mix fair for everyone.
Okay, thank you. Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Sean.
Good point.
Thank you.
Very well.
Any other questions, comments? All those in favor? 7-0. Item 12, approve Loonfest non-alcoholic food vending fees. Suggested motion to move to approve the following non-food vending fees for Loon Fest only. Loon Fest vending fees, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Veterans Memorial Squares, Lincoln Residence and Businesses, $80 for 10x10, $160 for 10x20. Non-Lincoln Residence and Businesses, $120 for 10x10, $220 for 10x20. Friday and Saturday only, Cobb Field, $30 for Lincoln Residence or Businesses, $50 for non-resident. Registered nonprofits will continue to receive a 50% discount. Electric cookup will be offered only at Veterans Memorial Square for $15.
So moved.
Second.
Motion's been made and seconded. Any discussion? All those in favor? 7-0. Item 13, appointment, fiscal year 2027 budget committee members. Note, all budget committee members will need to take the FOAA training per the amended FOAA training law, 1 MRSA subsection 412, and fill out a completion sheet to be filed with the town clerk. Move to confirm the following appointments on the fiscal year 2027 budget committee. Eric Rojo, Elizabeth. How do you pronounce the last name?
Izerma.
Izerma. And for me, I've got Matthew Storman, Gordon Street, Charlie Dwelly, and George Edwards, and Lee Rand, Ted O'Kana.
I'll cue it up. Two years ago, it was put forth for a conglomerate of people to build a recreation football field at a lot out on the airport road. At that time, the town was to have no financial interest whatsoever in this project. That was stated by Councilor McCarthy at the time. It was also stated by Ron Weatherby. As time has gone on, it seems that the town has been donating to this project through donations, not through tax appropriations. And so that brings us, I sent out an email chain to all the councilors to read the conversations that I've been having with Ty and Brad about the problems that have arisen out there. One of the biggest problems is we were provided an erroneous survey by Hoyle and Tanner. And that led these guys to harvest trespass on Mr. Edwards, John Edwards' land. They've come to an agreement with Mr. Edwards now, and they're asking for some support of the town.
Chair, I missed a little bit of what you said. Who provided the maps to who?
Hoyle Tanner is a consultant company. We use them. They're under contract by us right now. They provided some maps to these folks, and they went off of that. You would assume that those were good maps, but in the end, it was an error on the map, and they ended up trespassing on 5 acres.
So in 2018, you guys had Hoyle Tanner do a survey around the airport for the airport reconstruction project. We used those maps. Ty and I bought the Vision Care main building, which now the school district's in. And we used those maps to say, geez, we got all kinds of room here. You know, we got kids in rec, and let's build a field. And Tyler's, W.T. Gardner got it, and, you know, we had no idea that the map was wrong. I mean, they're an accredited survey firm. We know that they're reputable. John reached out to Ty or somehow got hold of us and said, guys, I own that. I'm like, well, we didn't think you owned it because we're looking at the survey. But we had our lawyer and Shaheen and Gordon looked at the deed. They spent weeks and weeks on it. The deeds aren't very good. And it really came that we really couldn't prove that we owned it, and it seemed like John did own it. So in order to make it as peaceful as possible, John was nice enough to sell it to us, you know. Gardens didn't want to take the hit for timber trespass, obviously, so we kind of settled it. But, you know, it's a pretty substantial loss created by, you know, a firm that you guys used to, obviously we thought we could trust those documents, right? The tax maps followed the Hoyle Tanner survey. Everything was pointing that direction. The deed was unclear. We probably should have done a better job at that, but again, we went off the survey. Do you have anything to add to that?
Yeah, I mean, I do have a presentation, but it's something you guys want to go through. I know there's plenty to get through tonight, but I mean, the town GIS system showed that the lot was part of ours, and I mean, just to be fair, I mean, we started doing this with like total good intent. Like, we just
hold on just a second. How long is your presentation that you have prepared?
I can probably hammer through it in 5 minutes.
Can you go ahead and do your presentations?
Yeah, is there some place I can hook up with?
Yeah, you'll have to email it to me.
It's like a gig because it has video and stuff in it.
Do you have HDMI?
Yep.
Yeah.
So,
do you guys mind if I set? Is that okay?
While they're hooking that up real quick, so can you give just a little more information as to what this survey or map, I mean, is this a
survey that was done by Hoyle and Tanner?
Not to waste anyone's time, I think if you give me 5 minutes,
okay.
I could really make it a lot clearer and probably save everyone a lot more, so. All right, so, airport rec field. This is a current rec field up on Lee Road. I'm sure everyone's more than familiar that this has been up there for years. There's been some donations and work done, but I know personally speaking, watching my son play there is horrifying. There's ledge that comes out of the ground. It's just not a great facility. I was picking him up one night. One of the coaches is a cousin of mine, and I just kind of got to thinking we had a lot of space behind the property on the airport road, and I felt like we could do something more proactive for the town. In my opinion, Wiley Road is never going to work for the town. The current rec field is rocky and on ledge. It would require extensive groundwork as the pitch from one side to the other is almost an 8-foot difference. It was determined years ago that extending the water and sewer to the field would cost millions. Parking is also limited. The idea, as I mentioned, I was picking up my son one day. I called Brad and I said, you know, I feel like we could do something that would benefit the town, not only for our kids, but for many years to come. I mean, but by the time I get through this, my son will already be through rec. So I'm you know, this isn't like a personal mission. I just think it's the right thing to do for the area. So in the fall of 24, we began clearing. Our plans were based off the survey, as we mentioned, from the 2018 Hoyle and Tanner survey. Here's the property here. As Brad mentioned, this was the former Vision Care of Maine building. This line of trees here is where the property line that became a question. All the maps showed that we owned all of this area from here to the road, down to here, and across. This is right from the Town of Lincoln GIS website, even as of yesterday. So again, our building showing the property was owned by us. The 2018 Hoyle and Tanner survey, as Brad mentioned, this is the future update of where we wanted, or the town wanted to extend the runway. Even at that time, again, professional agency, you guys hired them, has the right way of the road. Everything here matches what we thought we were doing.
In the spring of 2024, John Edwards contacted us and was very upset. I'm sure many of you are aware there's been some issues with some Edwards land in the town over the years. I've never been in the middle of that, but he was obviously upset, and after I talked to him, and Brad and I talked to him, I could understand his point of view. Obviously, in our deed research and what I just showed you guys, like, we didn't think we were intentionally going on someone's land to destroy timber. So we had our lawyer look at it, and it took several weeks to find that there could be substantial evidence that they did own it. It wasn't 100% conclusive, but it was also at the point where we thought the best resolution was just to come to terms and purchase the land. So as I mentioned, moving forward, long-term benefit for the town and the youth for decades to come. We need help covering expenses and continuing to support the field. The field will benefit the town for years to come for both football and soccer. As a dad that's had kids in youth sports, even in the spring, we struggle for field time just for practicing fielding. It could also use for overflow for softball and baseball as well. By the time we were done with legal fees, closing, and paying the Edwards Trust, we're now a little bit over $150,000 with the land and lawyer fees. So I guess I'm looking for some help here. We're looking for some help here. We still want to make it work. Obviously, I'm sure anyone could understand that trying to do a good deed and you know, donate land for use and have it cost $150,000 is not a great outcome financially. So one of the things I just don't know is, I mean, obviously Hoyle and Tanner has title insurance. You know, would you guys support if we wanted to sue for an inaccurate survey? The other thought in talking to people around the town, is there room for using any of the funds that we have that were established for Lee Road and obviously haven't been used at all on that project? This was before. This was 3 years ago. This is after. Aerial view. As you can see here, I'll show you a video in just a quick second. We built a driveway coming in, so you know, ambulances or visiting teams can come in here. This is the airport road down here. Everything's all leveled, ready to go. We have the loam established, put down. I mean, if this wasn't us doing this with our friends at Bakers, I mean, this would be millions of dollars. So I mean, we're building it on a shoestring, but when we're done, it's going to be, I would say, probably one of the nicest rec fields in the state. So I really think it's something that we should champion. All right. So this is just some aerial footage, like you were driving into it. We've already had Ramsey's Welding has agreed to build field posts for the end. Over on the right, again, that's where today the school district superintendent's office is in that building. We have power on site, we have water on site, you know, and we have a large septic system there as well. So we're totally open. I mean, if we wanted to make it bigger and have facilities there, even if you wanted to do a building, again, this is all just goodwill, people trying to do the honest to goodness right thing. So I just kind of wanted to show you what we're looking at there. But it is also a full-size field. There's no modifications.
We also built it for, we could do soccer too, right, Ty?
Yeah, no, it's all set up for football and soccer.
So we think we'll be done this spring. I mean, it will be playable, right? That's what we're thinking. We'll be playable this summer.
So what makes this a great location? There's ample parking, and really there's minimal through traffic. The only traffic going through there on a weekend would be people going down to their hangars to fly. There's a great ability for future expansion. It has great proximity to I-95 for visiting teams. And as I mentioned, there's water, power, and sewer on site. Once we get this done, I also think it would be a great place that, you know, tournaments could be hosted. There's just a ton of great potential here. There's a fishing pond behind it. You know, I know when my kids are playing at a field, this is always great for the little ones to have something to do too. So, we're asking for some help on the financial end of it. It definitely it didn't start or it didn't end the way we wanted it to start, and we had brought it to the original town manager, and I guess it never made it to you guys. So here we are. So I take was that as quick as I could be? Yeah. Okay.
I worked with the original town manager, and we were told that we were going to build it.
Yeah.
Right. We heard that he was going to bring it to you guys, that he would support us as a co-planning situation with Hoyle Tanner. I'm not suggesting a lawsuit at how this ends, but with Hoyle Tanner, but I don't think he was really following through necessarily with the things he was telling me.
Mr. Chairman, could those speaking come up to the podium, please, and address the council?
Yeah, if you could. I don't have anything else.
No, we don't have anything else.
I have a quick question.
Any questions?
Chairman,
no, not right now.
I have a question, too.
Okay, can I ask mine real quick?
Sure.
It's simple. When you first bought the land,
do you own it,
yeah.
Okay.
When you first bought the land where the school is now,
yep.
Did you have a survey done then?
We did not.
Was a survey provided at all on anything when you first bought the property?
We didn't think we needed one because we just had a fresh one done in 2018 that we were going off from the airport project. So it was pretty obvious to us that, you know, you guys did essentially the surveys that already been done. Right. So we bought title insurance, which we're not sure. We've notified the company that there's a loss, but it doesn't really seem like it's going to go through. So.
Yeah. I want to make sure I understand this, right? You folks are approximately $150,000 in debt, right?
Yeah,
now?
It's money that came out of him and I's pocket, yeah.
Yeah, so we paid John and
well, we
the
paid
trust.
Edward's family.
$130,000 was what we agreed to, again, to come to a peaceful resolution. And you know, that's about $20,000 in legal and closing costs.
And if I understand you right, you're coming to the town and asking them to use town taxpayers' money to help support what you're doing?
We're looking, yeah, I mean, long
well, the short. Well, I think we're just looking for some help if there's any ideas out there. Like, I know there's some money set aside for rec. I mean, we're more than happy to do, you know, like a established long-term lease if something like that worked, but we're just trying to be reasonable, and yeah. I hope everyone understands we're just trying to do the right thing here.
From well, I think the idea is commendable.
Yep.
You know, it would be nice, but again, I think I'm going to start questioning whether taxpayer money should be used for this endeavor.
I wasn't implying that taxpayer money had to be used.
So yeah. We don't have privy to contract with Hoyle Tanner. We can't sue them, right? We didn't retain them. You guys retained them. Right. Essentially, they provided you a bad survey, which you provided to the public that we use. So the only legal remedy would be for you to name us as co-plaintiffs in a lawsuit with Hoyle Tanner to recover the $150,000. Right. They have the EO insurance. They would probably pay it. It probably would never go to court. That's one option. It's messy, but you could do it. The other is just the acknowledgement that we're doing it, and anything that you guys can allocate or help out. Field's going to get done. We're going to do it no matter what. So it probably doesn't help my argument very much, but again, we used a survey that you guys bought and paid for that just wasn't any good. So.
How much you're saying that we have money? I'm sorry.
Can I go ahead?
Okay. How much do we have in the fund that was being collected for the Lee property, and is that donations or is that TIF funds or is that out of taxpayer money?
Not taxpayer money. That money was left to us with the express purpose of using it for recreation, and more specifically a recreational building. And I think the balance in there is about $400,000. Melissa, am I right on that?
I can't hear you.
The rec fund was left to us. It was bequeathed to us for specifically using for rec purposes, more specifically a building. And I think it's about $400,000 in there.
Brendan actually has a file on it. If he could come up, and he's been researching it.
When the research is done, I think we need to then question how many other lines were done incorrectly by the survey. So I think we need to look into that as a first line of defense for them and for the town.
Well, actually, first of all, Mr. Town Manager, the survey, there's different natures of surveys. There's surveys for tax maps, there's surveys for logging. What specifically was this survey for?
This survey was specifically done in preparation for construction of the airport, the new runway, airport renovation in 2018, 2019.
And I have a follow-up question for you two.
Yep.
To answer your question, that doesn't really hold any legal liability on the town's part. First of all, it's an unfortunate situation.
Yeah.
I understand you guys, you know, you had great intentions. But it's not a logging survey. It wasn't a survey done if you were going to log the area, which should have happened in this case. My question to you, though, one of you just said you guys have title insurance?
Yeah, we have title insurance, but it would only be on what they would consider the deed, and the deed's unclear, so the title insurance company is immediately going to say, well, you know, we either need a corrected deed, or they're going to... The plot that we cut is not described completely in the deed. It's not... Neither deed is particularly clear. Okay, so it's going to be tough to do that. Just to, not to challenge you, but like an airport survey is under the highest standard, right? Because it involves aviation safety, and I'm a pilot, I know these things. You know, it's going to require aviation safety. They're going to do not only lateral, but vertical clearances and stuff. We really had a high degree of confidence in the survey. Not to mention the GIS tax maps for the town showed it. We were paying taxes on it. You know, there was plenty to support our belief that we own it.
I understand that, but before you go logging on a piece of equipment, those aren't really necessarily the tax maps, really don't meet that level of survey. It sounds to me like the issue is with the real estate deeds themselves.
There's no question.
I lost my second point.
Well, let me pick up on that, then. Okay. So if you have title insurance, does John also have title insurance?
I'm not sure.
Okay, because it would seem like you've got a situation where one of the two, or some combination thereof, is the issue, and that somehow or other then there ought to be a settlement between the two insurance companies in covering.
Yeah, I mean, I would just venture to guess that the deed that John has would predate any type of title insurance. It's all handwritten.
Ah, got it.
I would think that's the case.
Okay.
Here's what I'm struggling with as a consultant. And I would be curious to see if there's any wiggle room with the other fund. I don't think there is, but, you know, maybe our lawyer, one of our lawyers can take a look at it. Here's my issue with this whole thing. And I'm telling you, my heart breaks for you guys, but this is the reason why you've got to make sure your I's are dotted and your T's are crossed, because if, and I'm not saying the town is, but just speaking hypothetically, if we were to do something, then it kind of sets the precedent for somebody else to go do something. They don't get their I's dotted, their T's crossed. And then, okay, well, you know, we really had good intent on this project. You help those guys. You know, we need a hand here.
Yeah.
That's my
concern. Mr. Counselor, how many projects have people tried to build a youth football field and let the town use? I mean, let's put it in perspective.
Yeah, but I've got to look at it.
We're not here saying you have to pay shit, but
should you?
Yeah, but we're asking for guidance, help, whatever we can get. It's not an ultimatum by any means.
I understand.
Yeah.
I'm just giving you my perspective.
Yeah, no, I understand that.
I've been studying the emails and the situation.
Yeah.
What about the fear of the whole match going to the airport?
What's that? That's a good question.
I believe, didn't we ask paper at what time?
So the purpose of that fund is to purchase real estate and or buildings that will serve as a location of a community recreational center.
Point of order. No talking from the audience. Thank you.
The center to engineer, build, construct, furnish, and equip the center, and to provide for continued maintenance of the center. The center shall house a basketball court and other such recreational facilities as shall meet the recreational needs of the community. My understanding of this is any money to be used for that has to be used towards a building to have a basketball
court. I apologize because I couldn't hear what you were saying. Could you read the first paragraph?
Yep. I'll just start over. The purpose of the fund shall be to solicit contributions that will be used to purchase real estate and or buildings that will serve as the location of a community recreational center. 2, to engineer, build, construct, furnish, and equip the center. 3, to provide for the continued maintenance of the center. The center shall house a basketball court and such other recreational facilities as shall meet the recreational needs of the Lincoln community. The center will be used for recreational programs to be authorized by the trustees to benefit area young people, adults, and senior citizens.
So it's not tied to that location over on Lee Road.
I don't believe so. Best of my knowledge, it's not. The thing that it's tied to is what the specific purpose of it. So like a building, and it must have a basketball court. Those are the two main things that I get from that.
But it could be to buy land.
It says to purchase real estate and or buildings.
Yeah, and or.
Yep.
Huh? Do you mind me asking, how old is the grant?
This is from...
It's 2002.
Yeah, this was 2002.
Is there any definitive plan from my understanding, the Lee Road acquisition was millions in sewer?
To my knowledge, this has just been having money from the basketball tournament every year to be put into it. And other than that, that's the best of my knowledge. That's where it's going.
Thank you.
Okay.
Mr.
Chair.
Please go ahead.
You said you have plenty of space, right?
Yeah.
Let's hypothetically, as Councilor Ireland says, are you in a position and have the space to build a basketball court?
Absolutely. I mean, again, you couldn't meet a group of guys that are just honestly trying to do the best thing for the community.
Yeah, because I think the language specific that they want to have a basketball court.
Oh, no. I mean, honestly, I think it would be...
The rest of it is open.
Yeah.
I think it fits quite well.
Yeah, and we were just talking the other day.
So this is a possibility.
Brad's daughter had basketball practice to late 30 the other night on a school night just because there is so little space for the kids to practice. So, I mean, we're totally open to anything. I mean, willing to help with fundraising and anything we can do. I mean, from the bottom of my heart, it's just all trying to do something great for the youth.
So. I think we all want to help.
I think it is a possibility. I was under the impression that funds was tied to...
I agree. I thought the same thing. I haven't seen that document before.
Something that is...
Yeah.
Mr. Chairman,
Ruth, get up, please.
Could I address?
Yeah.
I have some historical knowledge on this process, if you don't mind.
Yes, go ahead.
What the town of Lincoln received was a whip from a lady that wanted it to be used for recreational purposes. That policy that Brendan has came up when a committee got together, did a survey on what the townspeople wanted the most. And that's their draft of what that fund should be intended for based upon the will. It's not an absolute, and it isn't tied to the Lee loan. I just wanted to make that clear.
So, I understand what you're saying about what Brandon just read. So is the money in that fund, are you saying because of where it was a will, is still tied to the property?
There was a will that came in that had very vague description on what the money could be used for. The town council set up a committee, they did a survey, and they came up with this draft on what that fund, in recognition of what the will said, to be more defined. It's not tied to a particular real estate. It is not tied to a specific plan. It was just to follow the intent of the will to be used for recreational purposes.
So the person who passed away didn't own that piece of property out
there?
No,
they did not.
Okay. Thanks for the clarification on that.
Hold on. And therefore, you're also saying...
Point of order. Address your questions to the chairman.
I did.
No, you didn't recognize it.
So the will did not specify a basketball court or a basketball building like this. This all came out after the will.
It specified recreational purposes for the Lincoln community.
Mr. Okay. Chairman,
thank you.
Thank you. What I suggest, we pay for this and terminate the engineer. Because it's clearly on his shoulder. How many other properties do we have in town? I'll give you an example. When a gentleman down behind me bought 92 acres, he resurveyed it, and the surveyor put a piece of land that was landlocked behind me on my deed. So we have plenty of indiscrepancies in this town. But first and foremost, they acted in goodwill. Gardeners cut the wood in goodwill. I think Hoyt and Tanner dropped the ball. And if we're going to go ahead and pay this, I personally would like to see them terminated as, you know, because we have plenty of things that we're dealing with in this town. And I'm sorry, if we're going to have people that represent the town of Lincoln and they drop the ball and it costs $100,000, $200,000, half $1 million, then we don't need them employed.
I suggest if a conversation hasn't been had with Hoyle and Tanner, that it should be had with them before any contract is terminated or any decision is made. Have a conversation with them.
Because
if there hasn't been one.
Excuse me, Mr. Chairman, clearly it was their fault. They acted in good faith.
Have we had any conversations with them?
We have not.
It seems to me that an appropriate thing for us to put on, or to change the rules to do, is to have a motion, or at least in some way authorize a discussion, an inquiry with Hoyle and Tanner before we move forward with any other action.
Mr. Chairman? Yeah, I agree, because they seem to be full of mistakes, so we're walking on a minefield full of their errors, so before things get worse, we need to have that conversation and put their feet to the fire, because if it's going to cause a ton of something, it has to cause them because it was their mistakes.
And there's plenty of other properties around it that may have been affected by it, I think Mr. Robinson was trying to point out.
Yeah, that's nowhere near correct.
But, so yeah, I think that's a good course, is to get hold of them and see.
So do we need to make a motion for that, or can, to do this, do we need to suspend the rules so that we can have a specific motion for it, or is that something we can do without going to that step?
I think we can just direct the town manager to collect the information for us, and then after that, we can come up with some kind of motion.
Just as a point of order, my fellow counselor, we can't deliberate during a discussion.
But does everyone agree that we should contact?
Yes.
So why don't you contact Hoyle and Tanner, explain the whole situation, what's going on, what has been the result of the mistake that was made.
Good.
See what they say.
Thank you. We're going to finish the field no matter what. We appreciate your support. And, appreciate
we appreciate what you
yes.
Your intent was.
Yep.
Yeah. Tried.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Thank you. All right. Item 16, renewal contract, SHL Enterprise Solutions.
15.
Oh, discussion, yeah. Update on mowing of bid plan going forward with equipment.
Specs, put it back together and get 200,000 miles out of it, I got two 1945 Jeeps I brought back to life, rolled in a set of bearings, took off the head gasket, put a new gasket in. And to say that we need to send out that Bobcat to have it worked on professionally, that did not set well with me. If we're going to replace the Bobcat, that has to be figured into this, because all the expenditures on that moment is done by Mr. King, if he gets it. And as far as the truck goes, why isn't our mechanic that we're paid for just went out and we took that truck to a business, $900, oil change, a sway bar. It don't take much to replace a sway bar and links. So that $900 to me, it could have been done at the garage. We got to stop throwing this money away. And to say that that truck is not going to pass inspections again because we have not done a due diligence because the rocker panels and the frame is a little rusty, do our maintenance like we're supposed to. So if we're going to go out to bid, we've got to get a true account of what it costs. If it's four lawnmowers, six weed whackers, a trailer, insurances for the equipment. So if we set rate down, I bet you that's going to be probably more than what we're paying if we pay $125,000, $130,000 for a contract. That is what we need, because if we're going to go out and buy a new Bobcat or even spend $15,000 to repair it and then let a new one go another 900 hours and have it damaged because of neglect. So next month I would like to see a better accounting on a dollar for dollar what it's going to cost.
So wages, $15,120. That wage doesn't count the amount that they do on all the other projects. So for the mowing, less. Let's see here. Actually, technically it's $43,688. So you got to include the potentially the overtime or whatnot for the Loop Fest. $2,000 for maintenance. $900 for purchase of new equipment that doesn't count mowers, $2,581 for fuel, $5,000 for a new mower, which we do every 2 to 3 years. The guy before me was doing it every two. I've changed that to every three. So we haven't bought a new mower yet. That comes to roughly $57,511.
Okay, Mr. Chairman.
Yes.
If we replace the mower, how much is that? 12 grand?
Probably anywhere between 5 to 12, depending on what you want to go with. If you want to go with a higher end model, yeah, probably closer to 12. If you want to go with kind of what we've currently got, I'm thinking that's right around that 7, 8-ish range.
I still would like to think that we're going to be shelling out for a new pickup, we're going to be shelling out for a new Bobcat. That in itself is going to be in excess of $60,000.
Still coming in less than what that makes us.
A couple lawnmowers? Another 20 grand?
Like I said, we don't need a couple of lawnmowers. We need one, another one would be another 4 years down the road. Or 3 years, I should say.
The only thing I'm saying, Mr. Chairman, is we're going to do the taxpayers' bidding. We got to be very thoughtful on how we run this town. And to me, it's not comparing apples to apples. And if we do go mow this year with the Parks and Rec, I would recommend that we do our due diligence and really put down what it costs the taxpayers for that program.
There are several companies that do landscaping in town. I'm surprised that only one did. That raises the question of how we put the bids out, and something I've been asking informally, if we do not have, what other communities do, a pre-register of all businesses that would like to at some point do business with the town, so we know that there are five landscaping companies and we can then directly send an invitation rather than just put it in the paper to see who.
So
just a general question.
So this didn't go in the paper, this was sent individually directly to the businesses.
So you figure the others are not interested in the contract?
That would be my guess.
Okay. That's their choice.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
After speaking to Mr. King, he said that that price could be lower on a 3 to 5 year contract. He said it could have been lower if he would have got it prior to 3 days of closing. He threw this together in a hurry because he had 3 days to do it. I think we got to do a due diligence if we're going to... I think honestly we'd probably shave $25,000 off that bid.
Well, we do have the budget committee coming right up.
Yep.
We had a lot of the research into the costs, our costs. And if he had more time to look into his own costs, see if that could be lower.
Just a follow-up to Councilor Rojo. As I was studying my packet, and you can confirm this, I was talking with a few other landscaping companies outside of Lincoln. And one thing that I learned is landscaping companies don't like mowing cemeteries. It's a pain in the rear end. So just wanted to throw that out for everyone.
Do we have any other discussion?
Just briefly, thank you very much for being prepared with so much detail about how you came up with the comparison numbers and stuff. I'd like to see, you know, more department heads even coming to us with that kind of detail. Thank you very much.
Yes. I'd just like to mention this. I heard in this discussion multiple times of maintenance or lack of maintenance, and I would like to point out that we have one mechanic in the garage, and every manual, public works manual that I have looked at, gives one mechanic between 8 and 12 vehicles to maintain, and we currently have over 20. So our mechanic is busy all the time.
Mr. Chairman, that means all he can work on, Mr. Town Manager, is 8 to 15 pieces of equipment?
To do all the maintenance, that's quite a bit of work.
Huh. Mr. Chairman, back we had 148 pieces of equipment. We had 2 full-time mechanics. We had Cyril Sweet 20 hours a week that would come out. If I was to ask Mr. Gardner today how many pieces of equipment they got, how many mechanics they got, we asked for a back along, probably the council, you can probably remember it, Mr. Chairman, a routine maintenance on equipment, because that was the sole reason why we pushed for a mechanic, because we did not want oil change to go out, simple doing oil change. To sit here and think that one person can only work on a dozen pieces of equipment, that don't fly to me. And if that's what Maine Municipal Association is saying, then I think we ought to probably do something different.
Any other discussion? No? Okay, you get something.
Just that it seems like he's looking for some direction here. And we need to step up and provide some direction for him so he knows where to go. If you're talking about Sheldon, you're talking about getting more detailed numbers. It seems to me he provided that. What is it we want to tell him to do at this point?
I'd like to know how much.
Point of order. This is a discussion item on the agenda. We cannot deliberate.
I'm not deliberating. I'm asking for suggestions. Back to it.
That's deliberating.
How is that deliberating? We're not making any vote. I'm asking for people to give a particular, if they have any particular ideas, to throw them out.
Okay, if you're looking for ideas, that's fine. You can't use this item on the agenda to give him directions. That's deliberating.
That kind of kills the use of the discussion then.
Thank you for making my point on why there's even discussions on the agenda.
Okay.
We're going to get to that in a couple more. My suggestion, not direction,
would be to let the budget committee get all the facts from both sides, both the bid and what the them dig into it and see which is the better deal.
One comment, and that is he's saying that we need to have a decision on this soon to prepare for spring. I'm not sure that the Budget Committee is going to be able to respond to him that quickly.
As a discussion item, we can't make that decision tonight.
Let me ask you this. Did we budget for a new lawnmower already in this current budget?
So all that stuff is usually yes. So there was one set aside through either the capital or the reserve funds.
So the one that you need, you'll
yes,
be getting
I honestly planned, I planned on going to bid for a new lawnmower in the fall, but when the Bobcat and the truck both decided to have their issues, I put it on a back burner. I talked to my cemetery supervisor, who used to be a landscaper. He's like, we can get, you know, we don't have to go every 2 years. We can get every three. That pushes the length of these lawnmowers out a little bit longer. Should be all set. So I was like, okay, cool, we'll push it back to next fall. So the lawnmower thing was hopefully pushed back to the fall of 26, focusing more on getting the Bobcat, which is, like I stated before, used for the burials, Boom Fest, all those other things, and then the truck, which is used to haul the mowers around. And the, you know, the high school kids to and from the, you know, the properties.
Yeah.
So are you okay for this spring season with what you have for lawnmowers?
So lawnmowers, yes. Should be all set. I don't see any issues, and even if one does go down, three should be, you know, plenty.
So what would you need this spring? I mean, the Bobcat, they dug graves for years without it.
Right.
Could be, I mean, if we had to wait a few months.
Maybe just go do what they do in the South, which is pile the dirt beside the...
That's what we always did for years and
so
years and years.
I don't know what changed with that. I don't know why. I don't know if it, whatnot, but that could be an option as well. If we needed to. The truck, I think, for the mowing aspect would probably be the most important.
Okay. And what is the issues with that?
Mr. Chairman, I think it's just past inspection. I think that what's in question is the rocker panels and the frame getting soft.
Yeah, it said the rusting out underneath, rocker panels replaced soon, just a matter of time. The frame will have rust holes in it, but the engine also needs repairs. So that's the main thing, right, at the moment. And they don't recommend spending a lot of money on those repairs due to the condition of the frame.
I think your suggestion is just wait and let the Budget Committee handle this.
I mean, what's wrong with the engine?
It's got a tick, and they believe it's like the lifters. So they believe the lifters are going, and it's only a matter of time before that goes. What they think.
You're calling a tick in the dollars.
So, yeah, I think we'll let the Budget Committee tackle it.
Okay. Just that money for those two items too is in those reserve funds that have already been pulled from previous budgets. Just to put that.
Right, thank you.
Awesome. Thank you.
Okay, item 16, renew contract, SHL Enterprise Solutions. Suggested motion, move to continue this contracting with SHL Enterprise Solutions to provide the town of Lincoln with economic development services at the rates provided. Should the town of Lincoln wish to sever ties with SHL Enterprises Solutions, the town will provide a 30-day written notice of termination.
So moved.
Second.
Motion made and seconded. Any discussion? All those in favor? 7-0. All right. Okay, what's the last one? Item 17, fuel use report and proposed motion.
Just make a motion to accept it as well, how it's written.
Okay. we have a second on that?
Yes.
Any discussion? Okay, go ahead.
What are we talking about?
This one right here.
Item 17.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
What happened to 16?
I'm in favor of that one.
What happened to number 16?
It was a voting.
Already passed.
7-0.
Yeah, okay, again.
He's like, yes. Quick!
Moving right along.
Okay, so board left.
So I have problems with this motion for a number of reasons. One is that we are in the process of hiring potentially a new town manager, and this would basically do something before we even ask him how he would handle things. And if you take a look at the way the Constitution, the Charter is written, under Section 403, it basically is saying the town manager is acting as the CEO of the town of Lincoln, and that what we are restricted to as a town council is to provide policies to guide the town manager, not to interfere with the day-to-day operations or how he proceeds in providing us information. We can request it, but my understanding is that the way it's written, that it says in furthermore, the town charter seems to already provide the town manager with the broad discretion to keep the town council fully advised as to the financial condition and future needs of the town, and to make such recommendations to the council concerning the affairs of the town as he deems desirable. So this one does not go along with as he seems desirable. So it seems to be in conflict with the town charter. And so I can't support this as it's written. I would support a request that the town manager provide us with this kind of information, but not a requirement.
Councilor Street, I'm glad you're familiar with Section 403 and you just read the seventh bullet. I would ask for you to read the sixth bullet, the previous bullet. If you don't have it, I can read it.
Go ahead. Yeah.
He shall make other reports as the council may require concerning the operations of town departments, offices, agencies subject to his direction and supervision. So, with that there, that gives the authority for the motion that I did draft.
Can I continue?
Yes.
Oh, okay. All right. So, one of the things this does is it's not clear what the rationale is that we're looking for here, and it ends up giving us a huge amount of detailed data that is beyond what we are. I mean, and on a monthly basis, we're going to get a huge amount of data. And what we really want is a summary of what it is that he thinks at this point would be in our best interest as the town. And the cost of acquiring that data is going to be somebody having a huge amount of time pulling this data together for us. What is it that we are looking for by requesting this data?
This is the data that I want the council to be asking for from the town manager. We can't make decisions on what's going on for fuel usage without this information. And I'm frustrated that I ask for information from this town government at times, and there's no information available. So this is one of my venues for addressing this issue, number one. Number two, I've been told by previous councilors, that this information had been available on a monthly basis, maybe not to this degree of detail, but this information had been available. And until we get our budget under control, this is the information we need as a council.
Okay, I would wonder if we're going to ask for this kind of detail from each and every department for each and every purpose. We have a town manager, town council form a budget, not a selectman board form a budget. And I would like to think that we, if we're going to hire a new town manager, that we're going to trust him enough to provide us what we would like instead of requiring it.
Mr. Chairman?
Councilor Hanson?
This is just being fiscally conservative. We used to have a maintenance log. Every operator had to put down the mileage, on-road, off-road, fuel, grease, what they did, and they logged it. Any given time, we could go in and say, Sharon, my sister, can you tell us what we've used for fuel? Can you tell us what we got back for a rebate because of our off-road fuel? Right, Jay? It's being fiscally conservative what Councilor Allen is asking for, and we have operated very loosely with that. And I think this is a step in the right direction, regardless who the next town manager is, because giving him direction, and if the town manager is doing their job and they delegate to their their subordinates, his job is even going to be that much easier, because once you get that machine oiled and get those spokes working together, then we as a council can make an informed decision based upon what's being used. Point in case, case in point. Years, I've always been a stickler on the budget when it comes to fuel uses for the trash truck. The mileage never was consistent with what budgeted for. To me, we need to know where every dollar is spent, because then if something comes up, we could have the money to take care of a wreck, the mistake there. So I think, I'm going to support Councilor Allen on this one.
I agree that that kind of data should be available to us. It is a different thing to require it to be presented to us on a regular basis. Again, if we're hiring a new town manager, it seems to me our concern has been that the previous town manager did not require this, and it seems to me that we want to leave it up to the town manager, the new town manager, to determine what data and how to collect it as he sees fit for his use and for passing it on to us. You're hamstringing him with this thing to require data in a particular way that may not be consistent with what he needs to be able to manage the fuel's use properly.
Councilor Gordon, I respectfully have to disagree. We're not hamstringing any town manager. And I'm going to tell you, this isn't going to be my last motion of this nature. We have had a previous town manager who has not completed 4 of the last annual audits that are required by the town charter and by the state of Maine.
I agree.
So there's a new council in town, and we're going to get this data, we're going to get this straightened out, and we're going to get this budget under control. That's all I've got to say.
Chairman?
Yes.
First of all, I completely agree with David's motion. And if I may, Gordon, I think you might want to be reminded that four of us sitting here ran last fall on a campaign of fiscal conservatism for this council because the people in Lincoln wanted a change. And what you're seeing tonight with this motion, like David, Councilor David has said, is the beginning. And I just want to say, you know, I think it's a good beginning.
I would say, at the very least, it is premature. We are hiring a new town manager sometime soon, and this is basically telling him up front that we do not trust him to provide us with the information that is necessary to be able to do his job, and that we're going to be looking over his shoulder.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes, go ahead.
I'm listening to the issues we have with equipment maintenance, with equipment breakdown. I left to bring back, the Army has a very good system. It's called, number one, a program of preventive maintenance, which precisely brings the equipment to a long life based on daily routines, regular routines, having a wash point for the vehicles, don't rust, and also logbooks, as Councilor Hennington was saying, that give daily details of the use of the equipment. If we establish a system like that, we have what we need in order to make the decisions that we're looking for and have proper accountability. Just an observation of something that we need to look into.
We have that. We have daily log books that are filled out every day.
So then the information should be there.
It is.
Yes. And that's what I say, that's what the police department
to the
has.
Voting.
So I saw this point, and I guess we have this information. And welcome to anybody to look at it. I just don't know that you need it every month if we're doing what we're supposed to be doing, right? If we're doing what we're supposed to be doing with preventative maintenance, that's why you hire me to be the police chief, to deal with the cars, to deal with that maintenance. I'm doing that. If I'm not doing that, then you can deal with that. That's how I look at that. So, I mean, I can put that data in a report. I just don't think it's the right, I don't think it takes time to do that. You know, and I spend a lot of time on my monthly reports already adding extra things to that I don't think are necessarily something that I need to report every month. We have that data. We have that information. I have a nice fleet of cars now, so we take care of that. We do monthly checks on other things. We do the checks with gas mileage and fuel and all that, too. So, I mean, I think some of that is happening. So, I mean, certainly I'm willing to share that information with you. I think that's where I just wanted to give that information that I had.
Chair, my comment here, Chief.
Oh, you're done with me.
That's all right. Steve says I talk a little bit.
I was trying to give my two cents and then.
From Lincoln. I understand that. But we as a council can't ask for that information from you. We can only direct that from the town manager. And again, we're still 4 years behind, which just boggles my mind, on our annual audits. And these are just different pieces. I think the new town manager is going to use as well.
I just look at this as a really small issue to some other issues that we need to address. Yeah.
But it is an issue.
I agree.
Anything else? All those in favor? Favor? Opposed? 4-3. Gordon.
Item 18, fiscal tax disclosure statement. Proposed motion to fiscal tax impact disclosure for council expenditures. Motion to move that we can town council direct the town manager to update and utilize the existing town council agenda request form to include a written fiscal impact and tax impact disclosure for any town. Motion that requests or authorizes an expenditure or financial obligation of $10,000 or more. This requirement shall apply only to town council agenda motions requesting approval of expenditures.
So moved.
Second.
Any discussion? All those in favor? 7-0. Item 19, status fiscal year 2021 audit remedial accounting and reporting deficiencies. Proposed motion, status update on fiscal year 2021 audit remedial accounting and reporting deficiencies. Move that the Lincoln Town Council request the town manager provide the town council with written status update on the implementation of the agreed upon corrective action plans addressing the accounting and reporting deficiencies identified in the town of Lincoln's 2021 audit, annual audit completed in 2025.
So moved.
Second.
Motion's been made and seconded. Any discussion?
One thing that I failed to do with this motion that maybe I don't need to add, I'm not sure, as far as when you can expect.
I would agree, because this is something that we really shouldn't put on the acting town manager. We should wait until this is something that the new town manager should.
Right.
So do you want to move
on? Can I withdraw it to do a new motion?
Well, you can amend.
Or not amend?
Yep.
Yes. Let's do 45 days.
It's going to take the new town manager some time to do this. I would think closer to 60 days.
Okay. I'm in favor of that.
Yeah, right. That's cool.
That's all I like. It's the process, Jerry, to amend my motion for 60 days.
Oh, I'll second it.
Can't just say you want to amend it, but I haven't. To be enacted 60 days.
Did the rest of you hear that?
No.
I'm going to amend my motion to give it a 60-day deadline. We give the new town manager time.
Second.
So the motion has been made, amended, and seconded.
Second.
Any other discussion? All those in favor? Oh, you have a special.
Could we ask the status of 2022 audit?
Melissa, do we have a status on 2022 audit?
May inform the date. Currently, the 2022 audit is with the auditors. We are just waiting for the request of the that come from the auditors for invoices, payroll information, and things like that. In my estimate, it's 80% done. Just waiting for them to send the request. Last year, they requested probably 200 invoices, and all of the quarterly reports and things like that, and they have not asked for those yet. They are the all the quarterly reports are scanned in and ready to go to them. And the only thing we're really needing to scan in to send is the invoices that they request, because they'll take and look at all of our checks we've written for the year, and then they will request certain invoices based on their criteria, whether it be an amount or frequency of payment to those people.
Thank you.
discussion? All those in favor? 7-0. Item 20, discussion, PERC versus Epic lawsuit.
Okay, I sent, excuse me, everybody in the council a copy of that lawsuit. As we all know, we did business for many years with PERC, Penobscot Energy Recovery Company. They've gone bankrupt. They've been taken over by an outfit that goes by the acronym of EPIC. The point of contention is PERC feels that they still own the contracts that went along with the company. EPIC feels otherwise, and so they're going to battle it out in court. And that's coming right up here. And that's really why I put this on this agenda, is so to inform the council that this was happening and that it may be coming to some sort of ending in the near future. The Muni Waste guys are still calling me, and they are actually the stewards of PERC's contracts. So I put this on the agenda just to inform the council.
Okay, thank you. Any questions or comments?
Just how did this affect us when they fight it out?
Okay. If we sign on board with this in PERC's behalf, then we are bound to whatever the decision may be. If we stay back like we are, then we can choose our own route in the future.
Thank you. Any other questions, comments?
I make a motion to suspend the rules.
Motion's been made and seconded to suspend the rules. All those in favor? 7-0.
I make a motion to authorize the town council chair to approve a letter dated February 9th, 2026 to Andrew Frodo for provisional conditional offer of employment for Lincoln's next town manager.
Second.
I have a motion and second. Any discussion? All those in favor? 7-0. Item 21, future agenda items.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
I don't want to give too much detail, but could I call for a executive session next month, and I'll talk to you and Dave about what it will be, but I think we need an update.
Okay. Okay. Anything else for future agenda items? Item 22. Motion to adjourn.
So moved.
All those in favor?